You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Ryssdal. It's Friday, and we're taking a look back at the week. It's been kind of a hodgepodge week, to be honest, for those of us whose specialty is this economy. Here to help sort it out are Kate Davidson. She's at the Wall Street Journal. Also, Brian Chung. He's at Yahoo Finance. Hey, you two.
Hey, Kai.
So, Kate, I'm going to start with you and with this observation of the news of the day. The producer price index came out this morning. That is, of course, prices at the wholesale level up 8.3% in a year. Do you suppose anybody at the Fed, or more accurately, at the White House, walked over to Jay Powell's office and said, "Hey, Jay, how you liking transitory now, pal?"
Well, I don't know about the White House, because they're sticking to the transitory story. They put out some new forecasts, yeah. I think it was late last month, essentially showing that they still think prices are coming down this year by a lot. So they more than doubled their forecast for inflation this year. You know, back in February, they thought it would be just a little above 2%. Now they're at 4.8 for the year. That's fourth quarter over compared to the fourth quarter of last year. But, you know, even to get to that point, as you pointed out, prices are so high, and consumer prices last month, or in July rather, consumer prices were 5.4% over the previous 12 months. And that's the highest they'd been on an annual basis since 2008. So they're high. And to get to the White House's forecast, they'd have to come down a lot. So I think that they are feeling the political heat over rising prices, right? Republicans are really hammering them on this. But I think that the economists there, and even at the Fed, I mean, we'll find out in a couple of weeks, the Fed might mark up their forecast. But so far, they continue to think that these price pressures will fade.
Brian, with the observation that the consumer price index price is obviously at the consumer level, inflation at the consumer level, comes out next week. I'm obliged to point out here that Geeta Gopinath, she's the chief economist at the International Monetary Fund, said this week in a tweet, "You know what? Transitory is going to be measured in the United States and also in Europe, not in months, but in quarters. That is to say, it's going to be a while."
Yeah, and that underscores the broader point here, which is that even though a lot of Fed officials and just economists at large have said inflation may be transitory, which is their fancy word for temporary, it may be transitorily high for longer than people expected. There was a discussion that maybe after these base effects, which is kind of when you compare the deepest months of 2020, where we saw price drops against the high price increases of 2021, that you once you start to get to the later months of September, October, November, that maybe that's when you start to see inflation numbers come back to those pre-pandemic levels. It seems like that's not going to be the case. And that's likely because of the Delta-induced supply chain issues that have continued. We spoke with a CEO of Traeger Grills. They make grills, and they said that they're paying up to 10 times the amount of money for an inbound freight from Asia. And they said that's not likely to continue. That has nothing to do with Fed policy. That's just ports being closed around the world. And that's something they hope will fade in the coming months.
Yeah, our reporting shows the same thing about those containers. Hey, Kate, listen, I do not want to get into Federal Reserve Kremlinology, but do you think, and this will be the only time we'll mention this on this program, do you think Jay Powell's job is actually at risk?
Oh, that's a tough question.
That is not what I expected.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh, huh. Did I answer that incorrectly?
No, that's all right.
Well, I'm not sure if his job is at risk. I mean, I really don't. Like, there's a lot of pressure from progressives. And look, if it's at risk, it's not over this issue, I don't think. I mean, I think that on monetary policy, generally, I think most people in the administration think he's done a good job in steering the economy. But I think there is a lot of pressure on the regulatory side, I guess, folks who are concerned about climate change and whether the Fed has been tough enough on those issues. Do they have enough influence, you know, over the White House to push this one way or the other? Can they convince the president, look, you want to put in your own person who's really strong on these other issues? I'm not sure. You know, if I had to, you know, put money on it today, I would say I think Jay Powell is staying in his job. Yeah. But I think it's a little bit unclear. Maybe still we have a few more weeks to find out what's going to happen.
Speaking of a few more weeks, Brian Chung, I'm obliged to point out here that Janet Yellen, the Secretary of the Treasury, sent a letter to Congress this week saying, in essence, come on with the debt limit. Are we really going to not pay our debts? What?
Well, so I guess we need to back up to August of 2019. That was when the Bipartisan Budget Act suspended the limit through the end of July this year. That meant that August 1st this year, the debt limit was reset to the old ceiling of $22 trillion. that was blown through. So that means that the Treasury has to go through that reserve. And the projections are that they'll run out of cash sometime either in October or November. And Yellen has said many times, not just this week, that this would cause irreparable harm if the Treasury were not able to pay its bills on the government debt that's issued around the world. Now, of course, the probability of this actually happening, that the U.S. would default on their debt and that the credit ratings would go down, is extremely unlikely. But of course, you see how Congress, with the work that they're continuing to do on trying to attach the infrastructure bill to a reconciliation bill, it means that they're cutting it kind of close. But again, we've got until October or November to see that get resolved.
It just feels to me, Kate, the sides feel a little bit more dug in. And look, every Treasury Secretary ever since we've had a debt limit has said to Congress, come on, just pay the bills, right? Democrat and Republican. But the two sides do seem a little more dug in this time.
I think there's definitely a little bit more unease over what's going to happen here. And definitely folks who pay attention to this, who've followed this over the past decade or so, since we've had kind of these bigger, more dramatic battles over this issue, they're saying, yes, it's different this time. Just a couple of years ago, I don't know if we remember, you probably don't, there was this this drama-free agreement between Steve Mnuchin and Nancy Pelosi.
Yes.
Barely, people barely noticed it. They got it done. It was part of this broader budget agreement that Brian mentioned a minute ago. Now it's just hard to see how there's a lot of pieces to this puzzle, right? Because you have the reconciliation bill, you have an infrastructure bill, you have government spending. So on the one hand, there's a few different ways that they could do this, but you have Republicans saying, no way, we're not helping with this. So yeah, it's a little bit murkier for sure this time.
A little bit. Interesting way to run an economy. That's Kate Davidson of the Wall Street Journal. Brian Chung on a Friday afternoon. He's at Yahoo Finance. Thanks, you two.
Thanks, Guy.
Thanks, Guy.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.